Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore will be here with us with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, all you have to do is call in at 7 p.m., 319-527-6204. Amen. Praise be to God. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise God. And that is the main reason why we are here on this program every day, Tuesday through Saturdays, to pray one for another. We pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. So at this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So let us pray for the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary. Our Heavenly Father, as we enter this sanctuary, we bring your presence with us. We speak your peace, your grace, your mercy, and your perfect order into this sanctuary. We acknowledge your power over all that will be spoken, thought, decided, and done within these walls. And Lord, we thank you for the gifts you have blessed us with. We commit to using them responsibly in your honor. Please give us a fresh supply of strength to do our job. Anoint our projects, our ideas, and energy so that even our smallest accomplishment may bring you glory. And Lord, when we are confused, please guide us. When we are weary, please energize us. When we are burnt out, please infuse us with the light of the Holy Spirit. And may the work that we do and the way that we do it bring faith, joy, and a smile to all that we come in contact with today. And oh Lord, when we leave this sanctuary, give us traveling mercy. Bless our family and home to be in order as we left it. Lord, we thank you for everything you have done. We thank you for everything you're doing. And we thank you for everything you're going to do. And we thank you in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
just let me be who I am to you. And consider when God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed, but you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed, but body's racking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody and say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but. And say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs to know that God says,
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but one more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can be here.
Amen. Praise be to God. It is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, Rest in Me, My Child. Praise be to God. My scripture reading for this message coming from Matthew's chapter 1, verses 22 through 23, and it says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Amen. Praise God. My second scripture reading is coming from Hebrews 13:8. And it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. My third scripture reading is coming from Ecclesiastes 1, chapter 1, verse 2, and it says, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Amen? Praise God. And my fourth scripture reading is coming from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, and it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. The word of the Lord is already blessed. Amen. Again, the title, Rest in Me, My Child. Forgetting about the worries of the world. Focus on me, Emmanuel, and let my living presence envelop you in peace. Tune in to my eternal security, for I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you live on the surface of life by focusing on ever-changing phenomena, you will find yourself echoing the words of Solomon. Meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Living in collaboration with me is the way to instill meaning into your days. Begin each day alone with me so that you can experience the reality of my presence. As you spend time with me, the way before you opens up step by step. Arise from the stillness of our communion and gradually begin your journey through the day. Hold my hand in deliberate dependency on me, and I will smooth out the path before you. Praise be to God. I pray that this devotional message, it's a blessing unto you as it was unto me. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts. And that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for another sweet hour of prayer, where we pray every Tuesdays through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara Amore we'll be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection. Amen.
Lord, I live for you. forever I am yours, Lord. Hallelujah. I bless your name. And to die again. For I will look unto the altar and the finisher of my faith. Come on, let's take it higher.
I'll live for you.
I'll live for you.
I'll die in you.
For I have set the Lord always before me. Because you're on my right hand, I shall not be moved. I bless your name.
Praise be to God. It is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. And the title of this message is, What Should I Say? Your reading for this message is coming from Nehemiah chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6. Amen. Where it says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says, early the following spring, in the month of Nisan, during the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was serving the king his wine. I had never before appeared sad in his presence. So the king asked me, why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled. Then I was terrified. But I replied, long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire. The king asked, well, how can I help you? With a prayer to the God of heaven, I replied, if it please the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried. The king with the queen sitting beside him asked, how long will you be gone? When will you return? After I told him how long I would be gone, the king agreed to my request. Praise be to God. The text for this message is coming from Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, where it says, I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king. Praise God. Again, the title is, What Should I Say? And the writer says, when I stopped to browse through a box of books Mark C.S. Lewis at a used bookshop, the store owner appeared as we chatted about the available titles. I wondered if he might be interested in the faith that inspired much of Lewis' writings. I prayed silently for guidance. Information from a biography came to mind, and we began to discuss how C.S. Lewis' character pointed to God. In the end, I was thankful that a quick prayer had reoriented our conversation to spiritual matters. Nehemiah paused to pray before a pivotal moment in a conversation with King Artaxerxes in Persia. The king had asked how he could help Nehemiah, who was distraught over Jerusalem's destruction. Nehemiah was the king's servant and therefore in no position to ask for favors. But he needed one, a big one. He wanted to restore Jerusalem, so he prayed to the God of heaven before asking to leave his job so he could reestablish the city. Nehemiah 2, 4 through 5. The king consented and even agreed to help Nehemiah make travel arrangements and procure timber for the project. The Bible encourages us to pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, Ephesians 6 and 18. This includes moments when we need courage, self-control, or sensitivity. Praying before we speak helps us give God control of our attitude and our words. How might he want to direct your words today? Ask him and find out. Amen. Praise be to God. Question. What patterns of speech do you need God's help to change? And what types of situations in your life could benefit most from prayer? Think about those two questions. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, we surrender our words to you. Use them for your glory. Help them to inspire and encourage others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. And that is our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And all you have to do is call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. Jesus at the center of it all.
We worship you this morning, Lord. We declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus, at the center of it all. Singing, Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters, nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the Jesus be the center, say, Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you.
center of your church. Jesus, be the center of your church. And every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus.
Thank you. say they got your back. Hard time will make you face the true facts. A waste of life, you can't turn back. Mama cried so much till she had a heart attack. In your cell, you're crying out, oh Lord. In the dark, sense of voice answers your call. You feel the Holy Spirit anointed you fall. The light of His word pick you up and stand tall. Stand tall.
Praise be to God. Precious and Heavenly Father, we come this evening to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, and to thank you for all that you are doing and all that you're going to do. We thank you for sending your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, that we may have eternal life through him, Lord God. Thank you for our homes. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our children. Thank you for our neighbors. Thank you for our enemies. Thank you for each and every person, good or bad, that you put in our lives to give you the glory. Lord God, we thank you for life, strength, health, wisdom, and understanding. We praise you tonight, Lord God. I ask that you bless Penny Dorsett from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Heal her body where it needs to be healed, Lord God, and touch her where she needs to be touched, and guide her where she needs to be guided, Lord God. Thank you, and I ask this, that you also touch Lakeisha Davidson from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord God. Touch her back when she's having problems and unable to walk, Lord God. But you are a healer, Lord God. And I'm believing today that right now that it is already done. In Jesus' name, Lord God, let your will be done in each and every one of our lives, Lord God. And guide each and every one of us in the way that you would have us to go. Forgive us for our sins, present, past, and future, Lord God. Let your will be done. Not our will, Lord God, but your will be done. And we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's sing it like this together. No matter what,
no matter what,
come on, the problem
may be.
He's in control
and he knows everything.
I have the victory
cause. I have the victory, for he is my king.
In him I live, I move,
in him
and
I live, move, and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what.
No matter what.
the problem may be.
He's in control.
He's in control and he knows everything.
How many know that you've got the victory?
I have the victory, for he is my king.
Him I live, I'm moving.
Him I live, I'm moving. Have my
say like the best of people.
Best of peace.
Come on, lift them up in here.
Oh, lift them up. Rejoice.
Rejoice.
And shout unto him.
Why? When you called us.
Control. He's in control and he
knows everything.
I have the victory, for he is my king.
In him I live.
In him I live, move and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what.
No matter what the problem may
come
be.
Come on, clap your hands like this
and
sing it with us.
He's in control and he knows everything.
I have the victory,
I have the victory, for he is my king.
In him I live.
In him I live.
If you believe that, sing this with us. Let the people. Come on, lift him up.
Amen. Praise God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. Amen. At this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting for our speaker for this evening. Praise God.
Move me, Lord. Yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me. place where I'm at. Yeah, I need an answer, and you know all the facts. I'm done all I can, tired of making mistakes over and over again. So I'm calling on you, and you always know what to do. So I'm praying to thee. When I get up, I'll stand in victory. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Take away the hurt when I can't seem to make it work. I've done all that I can. Turn on your word, I'm ready to stand. So I'm hearing your voice in silence and in melody, yeah. So I'm flowing in your will. All that I am, I have to fulfill. Oh, move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah.
Amen. Praise be to God. And now it is time for our lesson in basic theology. At this time, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come and conduct our lesson this evening. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Miss Barbara. How are you this evening?
I am blessed and highly favored. Thank you. How are you?
Blessed, thank you.
Amen.
And God bless Minister. I forgot her name. I'm so sorry.
Minister Coates.
Minister Coates, God bless you. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank you.
Praise be to God. Back to you, Sister Barbara.
Amen. We're going to pick up with our lesson, basic theology, the Bible and origins. But I'm going to open in prayer for this segment. Precious and Heavenly Father, once more and again, a few of your humble servants come to give you praise, glory, and honor. Father God, we are so blessed to have you in our lives. Thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, hearing the strength of the struggle, allowing us to see a new day, a day we've never seen before. So God, we thank you for the weather. We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for the crispness in the air, showing us that fall is here and winter is soon to come. So we thank you, God, for giving us the sensation. Some people can't even feel the breeze on their face, but we are blessed. We thank you for that. Bless all the people on the line this evening, the ministers, the listeners, the apostles and first ladies and just the average people that want to know more about God. Bless them and keep them, Father God. Let them know that you are in charge and you make no mistakes, no matter what it looks like. Bless the bereaved families, those who are lost and alone. So we thank you again to continue to bless us, keep us, bless all the ministers, pastors, apostles in the world. We thank you much more. Can't thank you enough. If I had 10,000 tongues, Lord God, you know I couldn't thank you enough. I'm grateful, thankful. I love you, adore you. Can't live without you. So we thank you for all the many blessings. In that matchless name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
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 Praise God.
Amen.
We pick up from part four, the time of creation. And we stopped at part six, about the beginning.
Is somebody got a Bluetooth on or something?
Yes, I do. It's acting up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feedback.
On the other side of the room, hoping that that we're not affected, but okay, I'll take it on.
Speaker on. Is that better?
Oh, that's much better.
Okay. I apologize. I just was trying something, but apparently I have to change it anyway.
Yeah, but this is much better.
Okay, great. All right, so we're going to continue with the time. We need you to mute your phone, though, Evangelist, getting that feedback. Thank you. Until you need to speak, all right? Thank you. All right, part six. A few understand Genesis 1:1 not as describing the primeval creation ex nihilo celebrated by the angels. And we looked at Job 38:7, Isaiah 45 and 18. But the much later refashioning of a judgment-ridden earth in preparation for a new order of creation, man. The original creation took place according to this view before Genesis 1:1. Does anybody remember what creation ex nihilo means? Nihilo, N-I-H-I-L-O, creation ex nihilo. If you don't know, can you at least say I don't know or something?
Take it off mute. No, I do not know.
No, I don't know. I don't remember what it meant.
Okay, so creation ex nihilo means from out of nothing came something.
Awesome.
Remember we talked about that?
Yes.
Okay. So getting back to Genesis 1:1. Obviously, next paragraph. There is no agreement as to the time of creation. However, it seems clear that the recent appearance of man is well established in the scriptural account. Even assuming day ages, Adam was created in the sixth day age, which would be relatively recent. The genealogical tables in Genesis 5 and 11, even with some gaps within them, also argue for the recent creation of Adam. In order to come to some decisions about the scriptural evidence, we need to consider some relevant interpretations and considerations. Part 5. Any questions?
No.
No.
A, its description. The gap concept, also called the ruin reconstruction theory and the restitution theory, proposes a way to harmonize the Genesis record with the long periods of time seemingly demanded by geology, which as a science came into being at the first of the 19th century. What is geology? G-E-O-L-O-G-Y.
Geology. I know what it means, but I'm thinking about the other one, genealogy. Genealogy is like generation.
Yeah, we don't need genealogy. We're talking about geology.
Geology is dealing with the earth.
Right, the study of the earth.
Yeah.
And it's different layers.
Yeah.
And because of the fossils, you can kind of tell the age of the earth and the age of the fossils. How long ago they lived and walked among, did they walk among people?
No, I think it was the animals, wasn't it?
Right. There were no humans at the time.
Exactly.
That the dinosaurs were alive, as far as we know. There were no humans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So geology is the study of the earth, the world, and the different stages of fossil life that is still remains that we can see.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a geologist and you can dig and all of that kind of stuff and see the different layers of the earth.
Right.
So first popularized by Thomas Chalmers, C-H-A-L-M-E-R-S, of Scotland in 1814, it was elaborated by George H. Pember, P-E-M-B-E-R, incorporated in the notes of the Scofield Reference Bible, 1909, and defended by, among others, Eric Sauer, S-A-U-E-R, and Arthur C. Custon. According to this concept, the original creation of Genesis 1:1 was not only perfect and beautiful, but was populated with plants and animals. Some also say perhaps with pre-Adamic men or pre-Adamic. What is pre-Adamic or pre-Adamic men?
Well, from what I hear, that pre is pre before Adam.
Exactly.
The pre before Adam was created.
Pre-Adamic, right. So that's men that were here before Adam, according to this writer.
Yeah, according.
Then, in the gap between verses 1 and 2, Satan rebelled against God, thus bringing sin into the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So was there sin here before Satan tried to go his own way?
No.
Against God?
No.
All right. All right. Everything was peace and harmony, beautiful.
Yes.
Newly created.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was loving on everybody, even though Adam was not here yet.
Right.
So God's judgment involved a global flood followed by darkness and an ice age in which all plant, animal, and human, if it existed, all that life was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Thus the fossils found today came from this judgment on the original creation because of the sin of Satan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Verse 2 pictures the state of things that resulted from this judgment. The 6 days of creation, then, describe a recreation, restoration, or restitution, not the original creation. Anything about that, you think?
So you saying that everything that was lost in the flood wasn't recreated?
This is saying that there was a global flood before Adam, in which the planet, animal and human, if there was any life, was destroyed. And so the fossils, I'm reading it, found today came from this judgment. So there was judgment before the original creation.
Mm-hmm.
It says this judgment came on the original creation because of the sin of Satan. Verse 2 pictures the state of things that resulted from this judgment. The 6 days of creation then describe a recreation, restitution, or restoration, or restitution, sorry, not the original creation. So what do you think about that?
I'm thinking. So the recreation was when, after the flood, when Noah was...
This is not mentioning Noah yet. We're still in Genesis. We're still in Genesis
right.
1.
But the writer
Noah wasn't anywhere. Ladies, we got to talk one at a time out of respect for each other. When this is talking about Genesis 1, we didn't get to Noah yet. So this seems to be saying that the world was created before Adam was created. And that world was destroyed by flood. And then the 6 days of creation that the Bible speaks of in Genesis 1 talks about a recreation, which means created again, a restoration, something that's being now made right, or restitution, correcting again some situation, and not the original creation. So that's kind of paradoxical to me.
Well, I'm confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paradoxical, yeah. Like I said, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go on. We're not going to beat that because I can't add anything to that right now.
Okay.
B, section B, talking about the gap concept, its support. Because remember we were talking about there were certain places in the Bible that there is a gap. So this is what this is trying to clarify.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
So part B, supporting this gap, is called, this section is its support, I-T-S, its support.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in 4-5 sections. One, the phrase in Genesis 1-2 should be translated, the earth became without form and void. That is, it became that way because of the catastrophic judgment on Satan. So, in other words, the author is saying that there was something here before Satan came and caused sin to fall upon the face of the earth. And so the earth in Genesis 1 and 2 should say, the Bible, I'm sorry, should say the earth became without form and void. You understand that?
Yeah.
Minister Coach, you with us?
Yes, I'm with you. I'm reading the second verse, and it says...
Okay, wait. I don't need you to... interject that right now. Not yet, okay? Number two, without form and void, King James Version. Describe an evil condition that could not have been part of the original creation by God because he did not make the earth without form, Isaiah 45:18. Part three, and we're going to look at that.
Okay.
Darkness cannot be good. Therefore, Genesis 1 and 2 cannot describe the original creation by God. Four, God's command to Adam to replenish the earth, Genesis 1:28, indicates the earth must have been previously inhabited. The use of bara, B-A-R-A, in verse 1 indicates a different creation from what follows.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Evangelist Coates, we're going to look at Genesis 1 and 2. Evangelist Hughes, we're going to look at 45 and 18, Isaiah 45 and 18. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Evangelist Coates first, Genesis 1 and 2.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters.
Mm. Okay, does that, what does that say?
What?
What does that say?
What do you mean, what does it say? It says that God and the earth was without form. It had no form. It had no, and it was void. It was empty. And darkness was upon the face of the earth. It was in deep darkness. It was black as night. And
mm-hmm.
the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And with the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the waters, God said, let there be light, and there was light.
Okay, you're going down to verse 3. So,
yeah.
Verse 2, Evangelist Hilda, what does that mean to you?
In what, Genesis 2?
No, Genesis 1, verse 2.
Oh, 1, verse 2. The earth
mm-hmm.
was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. So, for me, it means that, you know, before God had to speak everything into existence. So when he made it, there was like no light. So he had to speak light in order for us to
have light. Okay, you're going down to verse 3. We're not at verse 3 yet.
Okay, so it says the earth was formless and empty.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nothing on the earth, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit
okay.
of God was hovering over the surface of the waters.
Okay, and so, if we go, thank you, both of you, thank you. And if we go back to what was just read, it's
mm-hmm.
saying that when Satan entered the world, sin came and it had to be destroyed before we get to Genesis 1 and 2.
Okay.
I don't understand. I'm not following you.
Well, welcome to the club.
This author is saying that there was something here before we got to Genesis. He's saying
where's
that
his
the world
proof that something was here.
We didn't say he had proof. I'm just trying to tell you what he's saying.
Oh.
We might get to see, you know, his proof. And this section is supposed to be in support of what he's saying. All right? And again, I'll read it's support, talking about the gap concept. Let me read that part again, the beginning in section 5, part A. And this is this author's opinion. It does not mean, like you said, where's the proof?
Right.
It doesn't mean that that's what it was. This is just his breakdown, his understanding, his research, or whatever he did.
Okay.
To come to this conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily his, because he attributed a lot of it to Thomas Chalmers of Scotland and George Pember and the
different scholars.
Bible, and okay. Eric Sawyer and Eric C. Arthur C. Custon. So it's not necessarily his opinion. He's citing other authors that have concluded this.
Okay. Okay, gotcha.
So let me read this again.
Mm-hmm.
It's description. The gap concept, also called the ruin reconstruction theory and the restitution theory. I'm going to pause here for a minute. Okay.
Hold on. When it says the ruin reconstruction theory?
Yes.
When it was ruined.
Yeah, that was what I was trying to ask the class. What does that mean?
Well, if it was ruined, that means that it was all destroyed. There was, nothing there.
Okay.
There was something there, and then it was ruined.
Right.
Okay.
Which is what was already read when I looked at the time of creation to start off with. Okay?
Okay.
I can go back to you if you want me to. Okay.
Yes, because we want to get an understanding of what he's talking about.
Okay, I can go back to part four. And this is talking about the time of creation.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to break this down, all right?
Okay.
Yeah.
With the help of the Holy Spirit, we are going to break this down. Okay, part four, the time of creation. The beginning of Genesis 1:1, chapter 1, verse 1, apparently refers to the beginning of the creation of the world. The first verse is an absolute. What's that?
Of the heavens and the earth.
The first verse is an absolute statement, not a dependent clause related to verse 2. Even so, the statement does not set the time of God's creative activity. Usher fixed the time as 4004 B.C. What is that? In terms of B.C.?
Before Christ?
Yeah, but 4,004 years before Christ.
Yes, yes.
Okay. While evolutionists suggest that it was 4,500,000,000 years B.C.
Now, they suggest that through computer analyzing the
I don't know. It doesn't give me how they did it. Huh?
They're analyzing that through the fossils that they analyzing the fossils that were found.
These are evolutionists. Whatever evolutionists do, that's how this one suggests that it was 4,500,000,000 B.C. Talking about, what are we talking about?
The creation of the heavens and the earth.
Right, talking about the creation. Some say it was 4,004 years before Christ, and one evolutionist suggested it was 4,500,000,000 before Christ. So that would be around the time that the dinosaurs were around, right? Or at least starting to come around.
Yeah, prehistory.
What'd you say?
I said prehistoric animals during that time.
Okay. And what is prehistoric?
They call dinosaurs.
Let the one that's brought it up answer the question. What is prehistoric?
She already said it. Dinosaurs. You have the T-Rex, dinosaurs, All different types of animals, but they're like huge, like not a normal size animal. They're like prehistoric.
Okay, that's great. Wonderful explanation about dinosaurs. But my question is, what is prehistoric?
Before history.
Mother Coach. Okay? Right. Before history. Mm-hmm. So some creationists hold to a recent creation, both of the earth and of man. So some creationists believe it was even less time than that the earth was created and that man was created. Talking about the time of creation.
Mm-hmm.
Part two. Some agree that man was a recent creation, but the earth is not. The gap theory and the day-age idea often go along with this view. Part three. Some make a distinction between men. Somebody's phone?
No, that's my doorbell. There's people in the hallway.
Okay, some make a distinction between men represented by the fossils, who were very old and lived and died before Adam, and Adam himself, who was a recent creation. So some make a distinction between men represented by the fossils, who were very old and lived before Adam, and Adam himself, who was a newer creation. Part four. Some understand Adam to be an island of creation in the sea of contemporary evolution, including subhuman forms.
Mm.
And we talked about subhuman. What is that?
Subhuman, I forgot.
Less than human. Below human.
Mm-hmm.
Five, theistic evolutionists regard man as ancient and the result of evolutionary processes by which the pre, before, and subhuman, below or beneath, eventually produced humans. So theistic evolutionists think of ancient man and as the result of evolutionary process by which the pre, before humans and subhumans eventually produced humans. Part six, and this is where we picked it up today.
Okay.
A few understand Genesis 1:1 not as describing the primeval creation ex nihilo, creation ex nihilo. And what is ex nihilo again?
Jeez. I didn't write it down. Go ahead. Explain it.
Evangelist Coach, what is ex nihilo?
I'm listening.
Yeah, what is ex... I'm asking a question. Do you remember what
N-I-H-I-L-O
is?
No.
Created something out of nothing.
Okay, let me write
something
that
out of nothing.
Right.
Let me write that.
Creation.
Spell that again.
I'm trying to. Creation, C-R-E-A-T-I-O-N.
No, I'm talking about the extra hero.
Give me a minute. I'm trying to give you the whole phrase, please. It's creation, X-E-X. New word, N-I-H-I-L-O. Creation ex nihilo. It's three words. And what does that mean?
Create.
Make something out of nothing.
Right. And so we're going to look at Job 38:7 and Isaiah 45:18. We've looked at that a number of times, Isaiah 45:18. But Coach, would you get Job 38:7? And when I ask you for it, you'll read it for me, okay?
Job 38:7. Job 38 and 7?
Yes, ma'am. And Evangelist Hilda get Isaiah 45 and 18. Okay, I'm going on.
Okay.
The primeval creation, ex nihilo, celebrated by the angels in Job 38 and 7 and Isaiah 45 and 18, but the much later refashioning of a judgment-ridden earth in preparation for a new order of creation man. The original creation took place according to this view before Genesis 1 and 1. So let's look at Job 38 and 7, Evangelist Hilda. Evangelist Cole?
Yes. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy.
That's it?
That's it.
Job 38 and 7, right?
That's what it says. When the morning stars sang together.
Let me see
and
what
all
mine
the sons of God
38 and 7 in the Message Bible. Let's see what they say. 38 and 7 or combined. So I just read the whole thing from 1
yes.
to 11. I think I read this already.
Yeah, last week. Chico, read that.
Have you gotten to the bottom of things? And now, finally, God answered Job from the eye of a violent storm. He said, why do you confuse the issue? Why do you talk without knowing what you're talking about?
Mm.
Pull yourself together, Job. Up on your feet. Stand tall. I have some questions for you, and I want some straight answers.
All right.
Where were you when I created the earth? Mm. Tell me, since you know so much. Who decided on its size? Certainly you'll know that. Who came up with the blueprints and measurements? How was its foundation poured? And who set the cornerstone while the morning stars sang in chorus and all the angels shouted praise? And who took charge of the ocean when it gushed forth like a baby from the womb? That was me. I wrapped it in soft clouds and tucked it in safely at night. Then I made a playpen for it, a strong playpen so it couldn't run loose, and said, stay here. This is your place. Your wild tantrums are confined to this place. All right, so it talks about while the morning stars sang in chorus and all the angels shouted praise.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's what Minister Coach read in 7, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so this celebrated the angels, right?
Right.
While the morning stars sang in chorus and all the angels shouted praise. What happened? Why was all this going on?
So they called in the angels, the sons of God.
Why was all that singing and praising going on? Why was all the singing and praising going on?
Because Job was angry and I was questioning God, and that's why God asked him, where were you when I created all of this? So you have no right to complain.
I'm talking about the angels. Why were the angels singing and praising?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know because.
What's that?
I don't know.
No, I heard you. I don't know what you said. What?
You have the 7th verse, right?
Yeah, what was your interpretation of that? Why were the angels singing and...
What does the author say?
I'm asking the students right now.
Morning stars hang together, and all the sons of God gather together. Well, who shall I? He's asking the question. He's asking the question. Where was he when these things was happening?
Yeah, who's asking the question?
God is asking Job the question.
Okay. Evangelist Hilda said that.
Well, that answers the question.
No, it didn't. Not correctly.
Oh, you talking about why they were singing?
That's the question, yes. Why were the angels singing?
Well, we don't know why they were singing. We know that God is asking Job, were you there when they were singing, when the sons of God were singing and the morning stars sang together?
Okay, so you don't know why the angels were singing?
Well, we haven't got through it yet, if that's the case.
Evangelist, you don't know why the angels were singing either?
No.
38 and 7. All right. Here I go one more time. I don't know where it's picking up from because, again, it goes from 1 to 11. I don't want to bother you with all the whole thing, but I'm going to go here. Who came up with the blueprints and measurements? And how was its foundation poured? And who set the cornerstone while the morning stars sang in chorus and all the angels shouted praise? That's the part I'm focusing on. Why were they, the angels, shouting praise?
Were they singing praise to Jesus? About
it's not
Jesus?
Who they were singing to. Why were they singing? They were singing.
Well,
this is between God. We're not talking about Jesus yet. But this is when God created the world, and it's saying that the stars were in the sky, and the angels were singing because God had just created the stars in the sky and the world, really, talking about the ocean. And I love that part when it says, who took charge of the ocean when it gushed forth like a baby from the womb?
He's asking Job this. In other words, were you there when I did all of this and when all of this was happening for me? This is God asking.
My question was, why were the angels singing?
For the glory of God.
Okay.
Will you just give us the answers and let's go on?
I said they were singing because of the creation of the world.
Okay.
They were happy that it was created.
No,
just think about it. Why would the angels sing? Because God had created the world. And they were talking about the stars in the sky. And like I said, I love that part when it talks about, where were you when I created the ocean, when it sprang forth like, you know, a baby from the womb, and I had to tell it where to stop, and I had to put it in a playpen? And yours is worded differently, but that's beautiful.
Exactly.
This is the message, like I said. But this is all talking about the creation.
Yes.
And the angels were there, and they were celebrating the goodness of the Lord. They were happy. Okay,
got it.
We'll leave it at that because that's it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Evangelist Hilda 45:18.
Isaiah 45:18 says, "For the Lord is God, and He created the heavens and earth, and put everything in place. He made the world to be lived in."
not to be a place of empty chaos. I am the Lord, he says, and there is no other. Amen.
Amen. And so, what, thank you, what is that saying?
It's saying, to me, my opinion, is saying, God is saying, God is saying, who give you the right to complain when I created everything?
Well, slow down. That's in Joel. Right now we're in Isaiah. Nobody's fussing. Nobody's fussing.
But he's still saying that for, let me see, 17 says, but the Lord will save the people of Israel with eternal salvation throughout everlasting ages. They will never again be humiliated and disgraced. For the Lord is God, and he created the heavens and the earth and put everything in place. See, for me,
right,
I have to read the whole chapter in order for me to understand what is,
yes, ma'am,
what
we know that. But
yes,
you can do that for homework. Read Isaiah 45. Then it's close to the same thing, okay?
Got it.
I'm going to write that down. Sometimes y'all say you forgot, and then it's like,
read Isaiah 45.
And it's
chapter 45, C-H-A-T-T-E-R, 45, for homework.
45, for next week, God willing.
Next week.
Okay. I got to, you got that evangelist coat?
Yes. Oh, okay.
I call you some of everything, evangelist, sister, mother. You got that?
Yeah,
I heard you.
The 22nd.
No. Okay, that's homework.
The 21st. So that would be
12:21.
Yes. 12:21:21.
Wow.
Oh, wow. 12:21.
And the other day was 12:12:21, remember?
Yes.
12:12:21.
That was Sunday, 12:12.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Won't be long before Christmas. Okay, let's see. So we're going to go on with it. What is creation ex nihilo?
Creation out of nothing.
One at a time. If somebody's speaking, the other one has to wait.
Okay.
Creating
something out of nothing.
Exactly.
Praise
and that's
God.
What you just read in 45, Isaiah 45 and 18. And I'll read it from the message where it says, God, creator of the heavens. He is, remember, God, maker of earth. He put it on its foundation, built it from scratch. Now, if that's not making something out of nothing, he didn't go to all that trouble to just leave it empty, nothing in it. He made it to be lived in.
Mm-hmm.
So he made it from scratch. If he made it from scratch,
excuse me.
God bless you. If he made
Thank
it from
you.
Scratch, you know when we bake things and we make them from scratch.
Yes.
So it's
good.
Not from the box.
Nope.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
We got to get the ingredients and put them together and measure them and or not and make this great whatever we're trying to make from scratch.
Scratch.
But with that, we already have the element. But when God did it, there was nothing there.
Absolutely.
Nothing there. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going on to, obviously there is no agreement as to the time of creation. Because one said it was 4,004 years before Christ, and the other one said it was 4 billion and 500 million years before Christ. So obviously there is no agreement as to the time of creation. However,
it seems clear that the recent appearance of man is well established in the scriptural account. Even assuming day ages, Adam was created on the sixth day age, which would be relatively recent.
Mm-hmm.
The genealogical tables in Genesis 5 and 11, even with some gaps within them, also argue for the recent creation of Adam. In order to come to some decisions about the scriptural evidence, we need to consider some relevant interpretations and considerations. Does that help any enlighten the book that we've kind of got in the midst of? Not really? No. Okay. Moving right along, part five. We read this already, but we're going over it.
Okay.
And it says the gap concept. We just talked about the gap, how in Genesis 5, there's some gaps within that, 5 and 11.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you get a chance, not homework, but if you get a chance, take a look at Genesis 5 and 11.
Okay.
Okay. So the gap concept, A, is description. Concept, also called ruin reconstruction theory and the restitution theory, proposes a way to harmonize the Genesis record with the long periods of time seemingly demanded by theology, which as a science, came into being at the first of the 19th century. That's fairly recent.
Yes.
Geology just came into being at the beginning of the 19th century.
Yep. That is very recent.
So what numbers would that be when we talk about the 19th century? You know, this is the 21st century.
And the 1800s, wouldn't it be?
Yes, ma'am. The 19th century is in the 1800s. So this is when geology as a science came into being. That's relatively recent. So first popularized by Thomas Chalmers of Scotland in 1814, it was elaborated by George H. Pember, incorporated in the notes of the Scofield Reference Bible in 1909, and defended by, among others, Eric Sawyer, S-A-U-E-R, and Arthur C. Custon. According to this concept, the original creation of Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1, was not only perfect and beautiful, but was populated with plants and animals. Some also say perhaps with pre-Adamic men. Then, in the gap between verses 1 and 2, Satan rebels against God, thus bringing sin into the universe. God's judgment involved a global flood followed by darkness and an ice age in which all plant, animal, and human, if it existed, life was destroyed. Thus, the fossils found today came from this judgment on the original creation because of the sin of Satan. Verse 2 pictures the state of things that resulted from this judgment. The 6 days of creation then describe a recreation, restoration, or restitution, not the original creation. Any thoughts?
Nope, go ahead. I'm good.
Okay, so it's support. The phrase in Genesis 1 and 2 should be translated, the earth became without form and void. That is, it became that way because of the catastrophic judgment on Satan.
Could that be a reference to Isaiah 14 and 12?
Isaiah 14 and 12?
Yeah, how about falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How about cast down to the ground, which did is weak in the nation?
So when Lucifer was kicked out of heaven, he was transgressing against God. So that's bringing sin down to the earth, correct?
Yes. Right. So that caused the chaos. So that has to be restoring of the earth after Satan was cast out, because it says because he was cast down to the earth.
Well, it seems to be saying that Satan, well, after the catastrophic judgment on Satan, what was the catastrophic judgment on him? To be kicked out of heaven?
He was cast out of heaven.
Yeah, we know that. He was kicked out, but was that the catastrophic judgment on Satan? But what I think this author is saying, that when Satan came in and brought sin to the world, there had to be a global flooding, and all of the animals and the plants and any pre-Adamic humans had been destroyed because of a flood, and then it became an ice age. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So we know you're right about him being kicked out of heaven, but was that the catastrophic judgment on Satan that caused the world to be destroyed, if what this reading is saying, that it was a world here before Adam was created?
Because,
and then it became without form and void.
Really, he said the world, the world as a wilderness was and destroyed the cities thereof. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Okay, so two, without form and void, King James Version describes an evil condition that could not have been part of the original creation by God, because he did not make the earth without form. And we read that in Isaiah 45 and 18, when we see that God, the creator of the heavens, he is, remember, God, maker of earth. He put it on his foundations, built it from scratch, and he didn't go to all that trouble to just leave it empty, nothing in it. He made it to be lived in. Again, he made it from scratch. And if for some reason Satan came in with his sin and caused the world to be judged, which caused a flood. This is his theory, not saying it what it was.
Exactly.
All right? Caused the first world, the first creation to be destroyed, and now it said the earth was without form and void.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Part three, darkness cannot be good. Therefore, Genesis 1, verse 2, cannot describe the original creation of God. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to look at that again. Genesis 1 and 2.
And the earth was without form.
1 and 2.
And it
goes from 1 through 2, and it says, first this, God created the heavens and earth. Same thing we saw in Isaiah 45 and 18. All you see, all you don't see, God created all of that. Earth was a soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. God's spirit brooded like a bird above the watery abyss. All right, so this is saying that there, again, was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But this person is trying to say that it was something before, and now it should be said, translated rather, the earth became without form and void. Part four. God's command to Adam to replenish the earth. What does that mean, replenish?
Well, he replenished it.
You have to use another word to translate the word.
Okay, after the earth was the destroyed from the things that was upon the earth, then so when Adam came along, he had to rebirth it.
Okay. To restore it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's
restore
like if you go shopping and you eat up all the bread. You got to replenish that when you go shopping again. You got to get some more bread.
Uh-huh.
Right? So you got to replace that. So God's command to Adam to replace the earth, to bring it back to what it had been, and I'll look at 1 and 28 in 1 second, Genesis, King James Version, indicates the earth must have been previously inhabited. And 1 and 28 says, okay, I can't, it goes from 26 to 28, but I'll just pick it up from here. God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. God blessed them, prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge, be responsible for fish in the sea and birds in the air. For everything that moves on the face of the earth. All right, so he's going to put those things on the earth. Fish, birds, humans, all right? And part five, the use of bara, B-A-R-A, in verse one indicates a different creation from what follows. We're going to stop right here at part C, talking about its weakness. So we talked about the gap concept, its description, its support, and God willing, next week we're going to talk about its weakness. Amen. Don't forget your homework. Amen. To read Isaiah 45 in its entirety.
Yes.
And try to get an understanding of what this whole creation is about. Okay?
Uh-huh.
All right, so who wants to take us out?
I'll take us out. Yeah. Father, we thank you, we bless you, we praise you, we magnify your name, for thou art worthy to be praised. We thank you for this time, and we thank you for your patience right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for our sisters that have the hunger. Said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And we thank you for that hunger and thirst that we have to know your word, and we ask that you continue to watch over us, protect us, and shield us from all of her harm and danger.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you,
God.
Praise the Lord. Ladies, thank you for joining us this evening, and
thank
you. I pray
for
that you got something out of it. Thank you, God. I pray that you got something out of it. God is in charge. And I know, as I said before, sometimes it's kind of hard to understand,
mm-hmm.
all right? But we try to just dig until we can get a better comprehension of what it is that's being said. And a lot
Amen.
Of times, this is
mm-hmm.
one of the first times we had to reread what we did last week and this week, too. And we
yeah.
still don't have it. You know, we still don't have it.
If we have
but
to reread it. To get it, we want to get it what the author is trying to point out.
Right, right. So I won't ask you for a summary because it's already after 8 o'clock. It's 8:06. But, again, thank you for coming because I know you could have been doing something else. Again, Evangelist Hilda, thank you for your support. With
thank
the popcorn,
you.
I appreciate you.
Oh.
And
looking forward to it.
Same here.
You know
Same
my daughter
here.
Did it for me, right?
Oh, Okay.
Well, I told you I'm not computer savvy, so
you're
she
not
does.
Computer savvy. Okay.
Nope. So she did it for me.
Good. Till I said thank you.
Yeah, she they admitted her into the hospital today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they wouldn't let me stay with her.
Uh-huh.
So I had to leave her there and come home because, you know, I couldn't be in the room with her. Only the patients can be in there, and she was in the emergency room. So she's going to call me to let me know, you know, exactly what's going on because they're taking MRIs and things, and they found out that she does have hernia discs. In fact, she had, three of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And that's what's pressing on her spine, on her lower spine. Mm-hmm. So that's why she's unable to walk.
Oh, goodness.
So they may, well, depends on the second set of MRIs. They may have to do emergency surgery. But I'm praying, you know.
Of course.
Yeah.
What's her name again?
Keisha.
Keisha? Okay. We're going to keep Keisha in prayer.
Thank
right?
you so much. Appreciate
Definitely
it.
Keep her in prayer.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I pray that if she has to undergo the surgery, it will be successful.
Yes.
You know?
Thank you. From so your mouth to God's ears.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Keep
Amen.
Keisha, what's her last name?
Davidson.
Okay. Keisha Davidson. Got it. Going to put
thank
her in
you,
prayer
thank
tomorrow.
You, thank you.
Of course,
Amen.
Of course. Undergoing, well.
We don't know about the surgery yet, but right now
right.
we're yeah, doing a whole set of tests to rule out all mm-hmm. kinds of things. You know.
Okay.
But she's young, so she'll bounce back if she do. Praise God. If
and God is in
good.
Charge, so.
Yes, absolutely.
That's right. God is in charge.
Yes.
All right. So
okay.
she's in our
prayer. I appreciate it.
Yes,
thank you.
You.
So, ladies, enjoy the rest of your evening.
You too.
And stay safe. Because that the second virus is out there, and it
yes.
is very high, 13% in New York and New Jersey.
Omicron. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
I will.
Love you.
Be
all.
Careful. Love you too. Thank you for that beautiful
okay.
lesson.
You rock.
Okay.
Good night, Miss.
What
happened
to Lady tonight?
She probably
night.
Went to see mother after work.
Okay. 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 I hear you, Evangelist
yeah.
Coast. Thank you for joining us. Love you. I'll talk to you later. Tomorrow, God willing. Okay, I think she might have left.
No, she's still there.
Have a blessing. She didn't
okay.
say anything. Anyway, I'm going. Love
all
you
right.
again. Love
have
all
a blessed
of you.
Evening.
Bless.
Thank you.
You too. Thank you. And shalom.
Shalom. I'm not going to play the music, so I'm closing out.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Love you.
Love you too.
Bye.